Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. After about a day and a half of testimony and evidence, the state rested its case against Chris Bynum. Since we went through them out of order, I'm going to quickly walk you through the state's case in chief, witness by witness, in order, and I'll point out any actual evidence that they presented against Chris. First came Kathy Yost, Suzanne and Angela Walker's aunt. No evidence against Chris. Then Lorraine Marshall, Amp's mom. No evidence. Jacqueline Yerpa, Liz's mom. No evidence. Sean Barty, Sheila's husband. No evidence. Then came Michelle Flores. She testified that Liz had written the name Chris and a number on a piece of paper. The number wasn't given and the paper wasn't entered as evidence. Jean Eggleston. She heard the gunshots from the ball field. No evidence against Chris. Terrell Triggs found the bodies at the park. No evidence against Chris. Larry Brooks. He said Chris's name on the stand several times, and he identified Chris as the killer without ever saying that he saw him. Then Willie Marshall, Amp's brother. He testified that Amp called him that night and told him a guy named Chris had come by waving a gun in his face. He also testified that he had seen Chris's girlfriend earlier that day, but that story pretty much fell apart on cross when he was confronted with his original police statement. Then, Officer John Koros, the first officer to arrive on the ball field scene. No evidence against Chris. Then, Jeff Trevino, the first officer at the house scene. No evidence against Chris. Theotis James. He put Larry and Katrina in a squad car and retrieved their grandmother. No evidence against Chris. Dr. Young Kim performed the autopsies. No evidence against Chris. Marizo Bertozzi, the crime scene investigator. No evidence against Chris. Henry Hatch, the firearms examiner. He testified that the same gun was likely used at both scenes, but no evidence against Chris. Then Lewis Donald, the detective that took Chris's statement. He testified to the confession. And that was it. The state rested with only this evidence presented against Chris Bynum. There was a piece of paper at Michelle's house with the name Chris on it. Larry somehow knows it was Chris without ever seeing him. Amp told Willie that there was a man named Chris at his house that night with a gun. And then there was Chris's provably false confession. That's what was presented. And these are the elements of a murder case like this that you would expect to see, but were not present in this case. No eyewitnesses or video evidence was presented that could put Chris Bynum at either crime scene or with any of the five victims that night. No fingerprints tying Chris to either scene. No DNA evidence tying Chris to either scene. No firearm presented that could be connected to Chris, or even evidence that he has or has ever owned a gun. No witness testimony or surveillance video from the VFW indicating what time Chris left, or that would show him or demonstrate that he had a gun that night. There was nothing found in Chris's house or car that connects him to the crime scenes. No phone records that connect Chris to the crime scenes. No pager records that connect Chris to the crime scenes. No evidence whatsoever that Chris Bynum is even capable of this or any amount of violence. To say the very least, the evidence in this case was extremely thin. Essentially, the state's case, as presented by the evidence, was that it's proven that he did it because he said he did it. But even with that, Bynum never actually confessed to killing Liz or Sheila. So let's focus on that for a minute. What evidence is there that Chris killed the two women at the ballpark? There is none. You have to connect a lot of dots to even build a circumstantial case for those two victims. I did my best to come up with the evidence that exists to prove it, and this is what I come up with. Michelle saw the name Chris on a piece of paper. Chris said in his confession that he was present at the ball field and that he killed Amp, Suzanne, and Angela. And according to the firearms examiner, the same gun was used at both scenes. So there's sort of a connection there. But that's the best I can do. And even that string of evidence has holes. For example, if you're considering Chris's confession true, and you have to in order to even come close to convicting, then you also have to consider the fact that he said Amp actually killed Liz and Sheila. And yet somehow, Bynum was convicted of all five murders. Guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The how that happened basically comes down to this. The best story wins. So that's what we're going to focus on today. The story that landed Chris Bynum in prison for the rest of his life. The state's closing argument. Hey everybody, Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
To close out our coverage of the state's case against Chris Bynum, I'm going to let you hear exactly what the jury heard. The prosecution's closing argument in its entirety. Presented to the jury as a way to tie the flimsy amount of actual evidence together into a case against Chris. This is the story that cost him his freedom. Quote, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, late on the evening of February 16th of the year 2000, Elizabeth Daly Ayers and Sheila Barty left the residence of their friend Michelle Flores. We know that because Michelle Flores came here and sat in this chair and she told us what she knows of that night. And what she told us was that on the night of February 16th, 2000, she spent the whole day with her friend Sheila. Later on in the evening, she was getting ready for bed. Sheila was going to spend the night at her house. And Liz came over just as she was getting ready for bed. She says that while she was getting ready for bed, there's a phone call received. She knew she hadn't called anybody, so she asked Liz, 'Did you call anyone?' And Liz picked up the phone and talked. Shortly after that phone call, Liz asked Michelle if she would run to the liquor store with her. Michelle said, 'No, I'm getting ready for bed,' but Sheila volunteered to go with her. Now, Michelle also testified that after they left the residence, Michelle woke up about 1 o'clock in the morning or so, and she noticed that Sheila had not returned, and noticed that Liz had not returned to the residence. She said at that time she observed a piece of paper sitting in the room of her house. And on that piece of paper was a phone number, and on that piece of paper was the name Chris. We also know that on the evening of February 16th of the year 2000, Larry Brooks was spending the evening home with his family. He was with his mother, Susan Wallace, his aunt, Angela Wallace, his mother's boyfriend, Anthony Jeffers, and his one-year-old cousin, Katrina. We know this because Larry came and sat in this chair and he told you what he knows of the night. And what Larry told you was that about 9 p.m. that night, he was getting ready for bed. Angela was home, Susan was home, Anthony was home, little Katrina was home. He told you he went to bed and sometime later during the night, he woke up to hollering. And he heard voices. And the voices he heard were Suzanne, Angela, Anthony, and most important, the voice he heard hollering was Cleveland Christopher Bynum, known to little Gary as Chris. That's the voice he heard hollering. Things quiet down after the hollering match ensues. And at that time, Larry hears Anthony go to the phone and make a phone call. And we know what was said in that conversation because Willie Marshall came in here and testified. He told you he was the person that Anthony called that night. And what did Anthony tell him? Chris was just there. And Chris was waving a gun in my face. Larry drifts back off to sleep, but he's awakened a second time. This time, he's wakened by hollering. It's not hollering that wakes him up, it's gunshots. And at that time, when he wakes up to gunshots, he hears voices again. And the voices he hears for the second time that night is the voice of Cleveland Christopher Bynum. Larry waits for the commotion to die down. He hears someone put out the lights and leave. And when that happens, Larry gets out of bed. He walks into the living room. He sees the body of his mother, Susan, lying on the floor. He sees the body of his Aunt Angela Renee Wallace lying on the floor. Then he sees the body of his mother's boyfriend, Anthony Jeffers, lying on the floor. And in the middle of those bodies, he sees one-year-old Katrina covered in blood. And mind you, it's not only Willie who puts Chris at the house. It's not only Larry who puts Chris at the house, or even Anthony in a statement to Willie. It's Chris that puts himself at that time, that house. He puts himself there that night, and he also puts himself at the house in the middle of an argument. Now, when Larry sees what's before him, he calls the police. He calls the police, and they come to the house, and they cord off the house, which is now a crime scene. They take little Larry and Katrina outside, give them into the custody of their grandmother. And sometime later, actually later in the day of the 17th, a man by the name of Terrell Triggs is walking his dog down by the ball field at 14th and Idaho. And he's walking his dog like he does every day. And he comes across an abandoned vehicle and thinks this is odd. Then he walks a little further and he sees patches of something red smeared in the snow. And he knows something is really odd at this situation. He goes home and calls the police and they come to the scene. Now, when the police get there to that scene, the police find the bodies of Sheila Barty and they find the bodies of Elizabeth Daly Ayers. Neither one is alive at that point. As Officer Kuros put it, they are 10-0 at that point. The person we know who was with with Sheila, and the person we know that was with Liz was Chris Bynum. And Chris Bynum tells us that in his second statement. We know that he's there with both of them at the ball field. And what's probably most interesting in the first statement, the comment from the first statement that Bynum gives the police, and in this first statement he says, leave no witnesses. Everybody says it. It's the most common thing to hear. And I suppose you could say that dead men tell no tales. That's a misconception that's not true in this case. In this case, we have Anthony, we have Suzanne, and we have Angela, we have Liz, we have Sheila, and they are all tales. Maybe not physically speaking to us, but what they're telling us is the position their bodies were left in, the evidence found at the scene, and the photographs. They're speaking their story to us. And if you look at the photos of the house, they're telling us what Anthony went through. They're telling us that Anthony was shot to his left arm, left head. First shot, defensive wound. And they're telling us that after that point, a gun was put to his head, close contact. And if you look at these pictures, you can see that they're also telling us that there's no struggle here. If you look closely at the pictures and look at Anthony's feet in the chair, and the lamp behind it, what they're telling you, that if you even notice on the left side, the side that Anthony is shot at first, there's a little dab of blood right there on that chair. They're telling us that he was sitting in that chair. If you look at his feet in the photo after photo, it's going to show you that his feet are right next to that chair. They're going to show you that the carpet is balled up there. It's going to show you that there's a lamp in the background. And what that shows you is that he was sitting in that chair. The chair went back, it pushed back the carpet, it hit the table, it hit the lamp. He was sitting down. He wasn't arguing, he wasn't fighting. He was sitting in the chair.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
What these photos are going to tell you also, and if you look at all of them, they're going to tell you that there is no struggle here going on. And in fact, several of the officers, when they testified, there weren't signs of a struggle going on in that home. And what the officers also said and what these photos show, there were no weapons in any of the hands, in any of the people at that home. Angela didn't have a weapon in her hand. Suzanne didn't have a weapon in her hand. And Anthony certainly didn't have a weapon in his hand. When you look at these photos at the scene, you're going to see that there were no weapons there. Officer Bertozzi was here and he told you that they collected everything in that house as evidence. And they saw absolutely no sign of a weapon in that home. Now let's talk about Suzanne. Let's talk about what her injuries show us. And what her injuries show is the opposite of Anthony, because Suzanne's right arm is what gets the defensive move. Arm shot right through the arm into the face. Suzanne also has a contact wound on the back of her head, side of her cheek. And if you look at the position of her body, it's her right cheek that's showing. That would be the easiest to go to. If you look at Angela in these photos, what they're going to tell you about Angela is also she had no weapon in her hand. She is shot in the right face, the right head, and the right back of the head. Two of them were close range wounds. If you look at Liz, you look at Sheila, and what are they telling you? First, we have the photo right here of the red patchy area. We know the car is back here already. She's the first red patchy area. Then we go through the wounds. Right across here, the red trail through the woods. Right to back here over the stones where the bodies were found. And there are some things that Liz's body in particular is telling us. And Liz is telling us about the scratches on her back. She was dragged in that position. She was dragged across that patch, back to the position behind that pile of stones. Liz is shot two times, possibly three. She's shot in the chest. She's shot in the head. She also has a wound on her neck, which Dr. Kim said possibly a laceration or another bullet, but it was indeterminate at the time. If you look at Renee, who was just along for the ride that night, she's got her gunshot wound to the head, and she's just tossed right on top of Liz. Now, there's something else that Anthony and Suzanne and Angela and Liz and Sheila are telling us, and they tell us through the autopsy. Remember what Dr. Kim said. He recovered a bullet from Anthony, he recovered a bullet from Angela, and he recovered a bullet from Suzanne, and he recovered a bullet from Sheila. And what they're all telling us with that bullet, all four of those bullets, is that there's a connection between the weapon used there and the weapon that was used at the ballpark. Because Sheila had the same type of bullet in her. She's telling you that she was killed with the same weapon that was used in that home. In addition, there are three other bullets, and they're all here. Sergeant Hatch testified to all of them. He testified how he goes through his firearms inspection. He told you about when a gun is first manufactured and the machinery used, it wears down over time and it creates different impressions inside the barrel of the gun. When a bullet is eventually fired through that barrel, those different impressions make a distinct indent on the bullet, and that's how we're able to tell which bullets are fired from the same weapon. He told you that three of the bullets from the home, the bullets from Angela, Suzanne, Anthony, Sheila, and one of the bullets from the ball field are all fired from the same gun. He said they were fired from a .38 caliber weapon. He said it was most likely a revolver. And we know who has a .38 caliber snub-nosed revolver. Chris Bynum does, because he told us in the second statement to the police that he owns a .38 caliber revolver. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, when we first started this case and when we first started, actually before we started evidence, you were instructed with preliminary instructions to use your common sense from day-to-day living, to listen to the evidence and make your decision. The state of Indiana is asking you now to use your common sense gained from day-to-day living to connect these pieces together and listen to what Anthony, Suzanne, Angela, Liz, and Sheila are telling us. We're going to ask you to find Chris Bynum guilty on 5 counts. We're asking you to find Chris Bynum guilty of knowingly or intentionally killing Anthony Jeffers. We're asking you to find Chris Bynum guilty of knowingly or intentionally killing Angela Wallace. We're asking you to find Chris Bynum guilty of knowingly or intentionally killing Suzanne Wallace. We're asking you to find Chris Bynum guilty or knowingly or intentionally killing Sheila Barty. And we're asking you to find Chris Bynum guilty of knowingly or intentionally killing Elizabeth Daly Ayers. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. End quote. As you can see, the closing argument the story that was told to the jury is just as brief as the entire trial itself. A day and a half of testimony, less than a handful of circumstantial evidence, all weaved together into a very short story that really comes down to this. We know Chris Bynum killed these five victims because Chris Bynum told you he killed these five victims. And as short and sweet as those closing arguments, and for that matter, this episode is, that was the story that stole Chris's life away. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.